Welcome back to the Beginning to Flourish pod. I'm James Cathcart and I'm joined by Albert Bogle. We are of Sanctuary First. And in this series, we've been thinking about what it means to begin to flourish. And our starting point was that theme, Beginning to Flourish, which we're looking at over Lent and Easter of 2025. But right at the crux of this theme is a phrase that came to you, Albert, while we were working together on this theme, love stripped bare on the cross. And I thought it would be good to have an episode of this series where we really unpack that phrase a little bit, because it's at, like I say, it's the crux of the theme. And it's also the really new part, because this theme, parts of it date back to 2020. So we were writing this pre-pandemic and pushed it out into the world during the pandemic. We had What We Really Need and My Father, the Gardener, I think, or something like that. And so, you know, we had these themes and we explored these ideas. And when we were looking ahead, so last year, when we were looking ahead into this year, and we were thinking, what do we want to do? And we were thinking, well, what can we return to? You know, what is something that we could, that, you know, we've looked at in the past partially, but that we want to see a little deeper, go a little further into. So we started looking through this material and thinking there was stuff that we wanted to do, but we couldn't, partly because of the pandemic and timing and, you know, everything, the way it was that year. And so we thought, well, maybe it's time again to return to this idea of flourishing. And we're in this interesting inflection point as a community at Sanctuary First. You know, our circumstances have changed the type of organization we are over the last few months. And so this year, we want our themes to be thinking about newness, starting, emerging. And so it seemed like the perfect time to return to beginning to flourish. But all that is to say that something that wasn't in that theme 4 years ago was that phrase 5 years ago, love was stripped bare on the cross. So Albert, can you speak a little bit to that phrase, how that came about and what it's meant for you?
Yeah, we're coming back to the cross, and this particular theme will resonate with those who go through the material and come to Holy Week. And love is stripped bare on the cross. When we come to the cross of Christ, that is where all roads meet. You mean, heaven touches earth. And in the heart of our searching and our longing and our breathing and our sheltering, we are all searching for a Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Who is going to save us? How can we be saved from the struggles of life? How can we survive? That's what the breath is. Can I live? And I need a Savior. I need a breath. You know, and then I need water. You know, and there's a longing. And sometimes we feel as though we're in the wilderness. And this whole wilderness experience that Jesus went through for us, the temptation narratives is the wilderness of life, is what we go through in life. We're faced with all kinds of temptations and decision making, and it's all there for us. And why we need a Savior is the story of Jesus, is the story of the beloved Son of God, the Son who identifies with us, the Son of Man, who calls himself the Son of Man. I've come to seek and to save the lost. I've come to identify with humanity. God has come among us. And so the wilderness experience is he engages with that, the struggles of evil. He engages with the temptations, the voices that say, do this, think about yourself. Put self first. Love stripped bare says, I can't put self first. I can't put self first. I can't put self first. I have to worship God first. And it's more. It's more than all these things. And then Jesus comes out of the wilderness experience and he engages, he takes the gospel into the world. And he brings a community together of men and women listening to him. But love always ends up challenging those who want to be all about self. love is a community that challenges the individual within us to die to self and surrender to community. And the cross of Christ brings us back to the God who comes and stands in our place. And when love is stripped bare on a cross, all that is left is pure love. There's nothing for him to gain.
Yeah.
It's not self-interest. It's pure love. And when pure love is stripped bare, it speaks to everyone, because everyone else deserts him in this whole story. It's back to the wilderness of Peter denies him and Judas betrays him with a kiss. In the midst of a symbol of love, he's betrayed. And those who gather round the cross, it's a community of love, his mum, the women folk. And he's stripped bare. And for those who can see it, it is him taking upon himself the shame of the world.
Mm.
See, when he's stripped bare, he's shameful. It's nothing. He's taken upon himself the shame of the world. When Adam was in the garden and realized his nakedness, he ran and hid. And God said, "Who told you you were naked?" And it was his sinfulness that told him he was naked. And he was ashamed. And so the cross of Christ is about Jesus taking our shame and doing something amazing. Redeeming us. And the Roman soldier at the cross, with all his protection and all his clothes and all, this is another character now that's brought in. And he is confronted with love stripped bare. And his life's changed.
There's not enough armor in the world.
Not enough armor to protect him against that.
Yeah.
And that's the power of the cross. That's the power of the cross. And whatever your shame is, and whatever you're afraid of, and whatever your fear is, Jesus has borne it on the cross for you. He's the Son of Man. He's humanity dying. God's humanity come among us to bring about justice, forgiveness, and hope. There's so much in this cross scene, James, that we can't deal with it all just in this one, but it's something we should maybe at some point just go into it some other later, but it's such a deep, deep area.
Yeah. No, thank you. And thank you for expressing that and so movingly. Because that's kind of how it unfolded, didn't it? You know, we were looking at this theme and moving the weeks around, and, you know, because obviously the calendars aren't always the same and different lectionary and stuff. And we were thinking about, okay, Holy Week, and how are we doing that this year? What are we getting out of it? And then, you know, this all just started coming out from you, you know, and you were sharing all of this, and it was so moving. And so it became for us really that key anchor point in the theme, because, you know, we begin thinking about, like we did in this podcast series, about our breath, and thinking about our need for shelter, water, belonging. And then over the theme, you know, because of the Jesus, you know, at the start of Lent, we talk about Jesus going into the wilderness. But then, of course, there's the second wilderness with the Garden of Gethsemane and Holy Week, and all of these things one by one being taken from Christ. And so I think there's just enormous power in that phrase, love stripped bare on the cross.
Do you know, James, do you know where the phrase scapegoat comes from?
I'm on the spot now, but I believe there was a practice to do with sacrifice.
The Jewish tradition, there was a practice that the priest would lay part of the sacrifice, the sins of the people, on a goat, and the goat would go out into the wilderness and carry the sins of the people. And there's a sense in which Christ on the cross is in the wilderness, where it says, there's another bit that says in Scripture, you know, that it's almost as though the Father turns his head away as the Son dies. He cannot look upon the sin of humanity, the shame. It's almost as though he cannot look upon the shame himself. And the pain and the sadness and the struggle and all, that's another. These are so many dimensions to the cross, but that idea of him taking away our shame, removing our shame, as far as the east is from the west, so because we could substitute the word sin for our shamefulness.
Mm.
And this whole area is just so potent.
It is, and you know, you think about the symbol of the cross. You know, we see it in jewelry, we see it in on the streets, you know, in our church buildings, and you'll see it on a postcard, and you know, we get used to the idea of the cross. Oh yeah, cross, Christian, whatever. But the symbol of the cross, what that meant in the time when it was being used like that to crucify people, was incredibly shameful. Not just this sense of the horror of it, but the idea that the whole the lack of dignity, the lack of any kind of decency, there was a real like horror felt around what this was, you know, like a community, you know, the wider sort of Roman culture that could tolerate this, could do this. It was a deeply uncomfortable thing. And so when Christians started saying, yeah, in the midst of that, someone who's been there to that lowest point that you can imagine, the worst possible fate that could be meted out to somebody, and that's where our king is. That's where our leader is.
That's why the sinner can say, I belong to Jesus. You see, when we say we belong to Jesus, we belong to Jesus on the cross who died for us.
Yep.
He is our refuge. He is our shelter. That's the only place we can go in amongst the shameful. And he gathers us in and brings us back and clothes us in his righteousness and his goodness. And so, love stripped bare in the shame, and is taken down and put into the tomb.
Yeah.
But love cannot be ever removed.
Oh, no.
Love is eternal. You know, there remains faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. His love is eternal. And how do we know all that? Because the psalmist tells us his love is eternal. He goes on, Psalm talks about the goodness of God. His love is eternal. God does not stop loving us.
Yeah.
Here's a thought. Even if you were in hell, God would not stop loving you. Wow.
Nothing can get between us and God's love, you know, as we read again in Romans.
So this resurrection of Jesus, the Son of Man, is our resurrection.
Yeah.
So we believe in the resurrection because the Spirit of God that is in us has been raised to life. A new man. The new Adam. And that's what it means to be born again, to be born of the Spirit, and to have this love of God dwelling in our souls.
Mm. And that's the power, you know, that enormous power of that phrase, the love stripped bare, the idea that it's not love that's broken. It's not love that's defeated. It's not love that's corrupted or twisted or somehow beyond any repair, but it's love brought to the very edge of experience, to the very edge of life.
And it's almost at that point when we say love stripped bare, what I mean by that is that you cannot resist it. It's so beautiful. It will drive you to tears because it will reveal everything to you. Your own sinfulness, your own shame, your own everything. It's love stripped bare on the cross. God saying, I am for you. And no wonder we sometimes have to be emotional at these things. We have to sometimes come and when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, it's bringing us to that place where we kneel and say, I am forgiven, but at a great cost. And I will live in a new way now. And how do you know that? How does that happen, James? It happens only with this. And that's the word of God. That's the scripture. And how do you feel this? It happens when the Spirit of God reveals it to you.
Yeah.
Go to church all your life. You can sing the hymns all your life, and then just at one moment, love stripped bare hits you. Wham! And you're never the same again.
I absolutely love the book, The Wounded Healer, you know, by Henri Nouwen. And there's a phrase in it that I've talked about Sanctuary Verse before, and I keep coming back to, but it's something like, never underestimate the power of love through, you know, one eye movement, one gesture, one word, the power it can have, even though someone may have lived through, you know, so much, you know, or gone through so much, but never underestimate the power of love, and what it can do, even in the smallest of movements, the smallest gesture, the least word, what it can do to someone who's in pain. And I think that vulnerability, the fact that we are, you know, that phrase, wounded healers, we are people who are healing. We are not fully healed, are we, any of us? You know, we are on that journey, you know, because of our faith, which, like, as we've been touching on, you know, survival, you know, this whole sense of what we need to survive in order to flourish and to thrive. And our faith goes to death and back to life. And there are endings. There are, you know, we've had a past theme on Sanctuary First, holy endings. Things come to an end. Things are finite. Things don't always last forever. But what is big enough? What is huge enough? What is amazing enough to hold all of that in love? Well, it's God. God is big enough. And because Christ did it freely, you know, God, it's not some weird thing where God was forced to, made to, you know, like, it's not like humans were so bad that we've put God on the back foot or something like that. This is how deep God's love is for us, that despite the fact that this was going to happen, that we were going to reject Christ, as in, you know, humanity, that message of love was so pure that we stripped it right bare. Despite the fact that was going to happen, God was always going to love us so much. Christ was always going to love us so much that we would get to that point. That's what's big enough to keep coming back. We can keep finding shelter. We can keep flourishing, even if there are endings in our lives, even if there are things that we let go of, things that stop. We can come back. We can flourish, can't we?
Absolutely. And that's it, is beginning to flourish when we begin to come to the cross.
Again. And that's the beauty. We keep doing it every Easter, every Lent, every day, every minute maybe. We find ourselves coming back there sometimes, but it's always there.
Great. Well, I think we've covered that one tonight, or today. But I think there's more, perhaps another time we'll come back and speak more about the cross of Christ.
Yeah.
And
certainly.
How it touches into our lives and brings us to the place of forgiveness and renewal and new birth.
Thanks so much for joining us for this episode of Beginning to Flourish Pod. We've got one more episode in this first series to go, where we take another step on in this journey. God bless.